Hey, fellow horror fans. This is Troy Escamilla, the director of Party Night and Mrs. Claus, and you are listening to Anthony T's Horror Show. Enjoy.
Welcome to Anthony T's Horror Show. I'm Anthony T. I hope everyone had a safe holiday season. In this edition of Anthony T's Horror Show, it's going to be different. There will be no guests on this episode because I wanted to do an episode highlighting some of the best and worst of 2018. I won't go into my top 10 films of 2018 as I will save that for next episode as I hope to have a guest on. As we can talk about 2018 in the horror genre. So, without further ado, let me get to some news. First, some of you might not know that I'm also, besides blogging and doing this podcast, I'm also one of the members of an awards group called the Fright Meter Awards. I've been doing this for a couple of years now. It's usually a fun process. In choosing winners in various categories. So, without further ado, let me just tell you who won the award for the 2018 Fright Meter Awards, which was recently announced via social media. Best costume design went to Suspiria. Best special effects went to Annihilation. Best cinematography went to Hereditary. Best editing went to Mandy. Best score went to Halloween. Best makeup went to Suspiria. Best screenplay went to Hereditary. Best actress in a supporting role went to Tilda Swinton for Suspiria. Best actor in a supporting role went to Alex Wolff for Hereditary. Best actress in a leading role went to Toni Collette for Hereditary. Best actor in a leading role went to David Howard Thornton for Terrifier. Best director went to Ari Aster for Hereditary. And best horror film went to Hereditary. If you want more information on the Fright Meter Awards, you can go to www.frightmeter.com. In other news, The Asylum. Yes, The Asylum. The studio behind the god-awful Sharknado films recently sent out a release for their upcoming slasher, The Sixth Friend. This is a film that's going to star Jamie Bernadette, who also produced and wrote the screenplay for the film. The film also stars Dominique Swan, Jessica Morris, Monique Razzio. According to the film synopsis, the slasher film with a supernatural twist tells of six college best friends that throw their own private graduation, only to see it go terribly wrong when an uninvited guest arrives. 5 years later, the girls gather once again and endure a night of far more horror and bloodshed. This is a film that sounds interesting because I'm a fan of Jamie Bernadette, who was very good in the 420 Massacre last year. And also has Jessica Morris, who's been in some of the more recent Full Moon films, like Evil Bong 777, Trophy Heads, and Real Evil. So I'm gonna definitely check this film out. Maybe when it hits DVD or Blu-ray, as this sounds like an interesting film from the trailer. And that's pretty much it I have with news, since it's very short, because not much happening during the holidays.
Hey guys, this is Steven Christina. I'm the founder, owner, creator, and host of Super Retro Throwback Reviews. Are you looking for the best movie reviews, music reviews, video game reviews, and Comic-Con coverage all around? Well then, look no further. Definitely check out Super Retro Throwback Reviews on YouTube and our new audio podcast, the new and improved Super Retro Throwback Reviews Audio Files version 2.0 on the following media distributors: Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify.
Class is over, John. Time for something new and improved.
Warning. The following commentary doesn't represent the views of Doc Discussions or the Doc Discussions Network. In other words, there are my views only. Welcome back to Anthony T's Horror Show. You may have noticed by the commentary disclaimer that there is no guest this episode, as this is my award show, as I'm honoring the best and the worst of 2018. Before I get to the best of 2018 with the Horror Show Awards, I want to look back at the worst of 2018 in an awards segment that I call the Horror Whammies. The Horror Whammies are awards that apply to the worst in both horror and science fiction. So if you see some sci-fi titles in there, well, they also cause trouble too. So I figured I'd lump them in to this award show, because basically they're one in the same, pretty much, in my opinion. So let's get on with the first award. The first award is for Dumbest Studio Idea of 2018. There was really one hands down winner, and that was the Child's Play remake. But there were a couple of decisions where it could have won the award. It was tough trying to figure out which idea was worse. Was it the fact that they're remaking Child's Play? Was it the fact that it's not gonna have any of the original people involved in it? But the worst idea of all those was when they announced that Child's Play will be opening in theaters the same day as Pixar's Toy Story 4. This is definitely a bad idea. I don't know why you would release this film in the summertime, because usually in the summertime is where all the big blockbuster films come out, and MGM decided to open Child's Play against Toy Story 4. This, to me, sends a message about two things. One is they're going to try to gimmick this film with Child's Play opening the same day as Toy Story 4. Plus, it, to me, gives me an indication that this film might not be good at all. Because I don't know why you would release a film against a popular children's series that pretty much is the same nature. You got talking dolls. So I don't understand why MGM is doing this, because this screams gimmick. And when they usually try to do a gimmick, the film isn't that good. So I'm really thinking that this new Child's Play remake is gonna suck, because why else would it be released on June 21st, the same day as Toy Story 4? The second award is the worst horror scene or moment of 2018. This was a very easy one for me. It was any comedic scene in The Predator. And I'll tell you why. Because when I want to see a Predator film, I do not want to see a Predator film in which there's way too much humor in it. That's what this film felt like for me. And it really killed my enjoyment of the film, as I was expecting another action-packed film, like the third Predator film, but sadly, this felt like it was too focused on comedy most of the time, which really hampers what the whole Predator series is about. I'll go more into it later, since this film really did pick up some awards here. And it's not the good kind, it's the horror whammies. But let's move on to the third category, worst editing. That easily went to an independent horror film called Grisha with Death Lives. I apologize if I mispronounced it, but that film was hard to watch. This is a film in which the editing needed more editing, as this film could have been edited by 20 minutes shorter. Because this film was like going around in circles. I was bored. And there's no pace. As it goes slowly, it really made me want to just scream out loud at this embarrassment of a film. And speaking of that film, Grisha, Where Death Lives, also gets my fourth award here on the Horror Whammies. And it's worst independent film. Nothing went right for this film. This film had horrible editing, bad direction, the cast was not good, and it was really a mess of a film. I wish I never saw this film, because this film is just complete, utter trash, and puts you to sleep 30 minutes into it. Don't bother wasting your time, even though it has Doug Jones and Lance Henriksen on the cover. They only appear for a few minutes. Not even a few minutes. It's bad. Really bad. Avoid this film at all costs. The next award is Worst Female Performance in a Lead or Supporting Role. And this is coming from a film that yours truly actually liked. The film is Bus Pie to Hell. I thought that was a really good film. Had a fun time with the film. But there was one thing that I hated about this film, and that was Tara Reid's performance. I thought her performance in that film was so annoying. It gave me thoughts of maybe I should shut this film off, because I can't stand annoying performances. And I was thinking, oh God, the rest of the movie must be this bad. But thankfully, once I got through Tara Reid's performance in the film, everything worked out fine. Had a fun time. But still, Tara Reid wins the Horror Whammy for Best Performance either in a Lead or Supporting Role for her film Bus Pie to Hell. But still, I recommend you check the film out. It's a really good film. Once you get past Tara Reid, it's a fun film. Next category, Worst Male Performance in a Lead or Supporting Role. And the Horror Whammy goes to Daniel Bruhl. If I pronounced it wrong, I apologize. This is tough to pronounce. For the Cloverfield Paradox, his performance in the film was flat, boring. It's just like, he looked like he was not there. And he's done some real good films like Inglourious Basterds for Quentin Tarantino, in Captain America Civil War for the Russo brothers. Here, his performance really sucked. I was bored every time he was on screen. It also didn't help that the Cloverfield Paradox is also completely boring. The performance looked like it was phoned in, and that's why I really didn't like it. I could have gone a number of ways with this award, but he really is a better actor than what he showed in the Cloverfield Paradox. Now we have three more awards to go. These are usually the big awards. The Horror Whammy for Worst Screenplay goes to The Predator. This is a screenplay that I bitched about in a commentary on one of the previous episodes, it was really bad. The fact that it was co-written by Shane Black, who starred in the original Predator film, is really bad. Because this film felt more like a comedy. I think highlighted in my commentary piece that Fred Decker, the other film's co-writer, should never be allowed to be near a franchise again, because he's pretty much ruined about two franchises now. He ruined the original RoboCop series, as that's more of a guilty pleasure film, and he's kind of ruined the Predator series, as that felt more like a guilty pleasure film. I don't know who comes out more worse for this film, Shane Black or Fred Decker. It's just awful. It was just awful. I want to see a Predator film where this intensity and the stakes involved. This film did not have it, because it felt like you were running from one place to the next and having a rushed final act. That's not what I want to see in a Predator story. I'm sorry. That's why Shane Black and Fred Decker wins the horror whammy for worst screenplay. Now, for worst direction, it was down to two people, but I decided to stick with the Predator for this award as well, as the horror whammy for worst director goes to Shane Black for the Predator. This film's direction was horrible, too. It's like everything moves at a fast pace. He relies more on humor. The action scenes you don't get much of until the final act. And even then it was okay. But I just got annoyed with the performances in the film and the way that Shane Black directed them. It is sad that the Predator franchise has come down to this. Really. Because after Predators, which I liked a lot, I was hoping the next film would be in the same vein. But I did not expect to see a Predator film where the acting was annoying and it felt like you had no attachment to the characters because of the way the director directs the actors. I don't know why the Predator turned out so bad. They could have really done something good with this film. Instead, it felt like a comedy for two-thirds of the way through, and the direction was pretty much flat. That's why Shane Black also wins the horror whammy for not best director, because he's definitely not the best director of 2018. He is the worst director of 2018. Finally, we've come up to the worst film of 2018. A little backstory to the worst film of 2018. It's a film that I almost totally forgot. So that means it's not The Predator. There's actually a film that is worse than The Predator. I remember seeing this film when it first came out on Netflix, and I pretty much shut the film off. As a film lover like me, I never shut off films, as I like to see films from start to finish. But this film joins a select few in which I shut off in the middle of a film. The last time I could remember shutting off a film was Only God Forgives, which really was awful. I don't think I even lasted 30 minutes with this film. This one I lasted only like halfway through until I couldn't take it anymore. The horror whammy for worst film of 2018 goes to The Cloverfield Paradox. This film was just boring. It was one of those films where I felt like I was watching paint dry. When I see a film where I feel like I'm watching paint dry, I just get aggravated. And this film really did it, because this film had flat characters, boring story, and not enough action to keep everything moving. I was just sitting there bored until the point where I just shut it off, because I really didn't want to see any more of The Cloverfield Paradox. No wonder why this film did not hit theaters. Instead, it hit Netflix, because this film would have bombed at the box office with all the negative reviews. And that's why The Cloverfield Paradox is the worst film of 2018. Have a horror podcast that you want to promote? Have a geek podcast you want to promote? Well, if you answered yes to one of those, then here at Anthony T's Horror Show, I'm looking to have your commercial here on my show. If you're interested in having your commercial played on my show, you can contact me at AnthonyT'sHorrorShow@gmail.com. And remember, support indie horror. Warning, the following commentary doesn't represent the views of Doc Discussions or the Doc Discussions Network. In other words, there are my views only. Welcome back. Now, since we covered the worst of awards with the Horror Whammies, let's actually cover the best awards of 2018. And is known as the Horror Show Awards. It's basically recognizing excellence in horror, science fiction, and genre fair. The first award is Best Horror Scene or Horror Related Convention Moment. For me, I decided to make it a convention moment. Even though it was at a con where it was pretty much awful, I explain it on my website, Anthony T's Horror Chamber. I won't go into it here, but my favorite horror convention moment is meeting the great Tim Curry at Monster Mania. Very nice guy. Probably one of my favorite convention experiences ever. I wish the convention was the same, but it wasn't. But at least this moment with Tim Curry was, I think, one of my favorite moments at a convention ever, and that will be cherished for years to come. Next category is Best Costume Design. And my winner for Best Costume Design was The Nun. I liked the way the costumes looked very old school, very gothic. It helped add to the film's dreary tone. I know I will get hate for this, but I thought The Nun was a good film. Not something I would put on my best 10 list of the year, but it was at least a lot better than the other Conjuring spinoff, Annabelle. Next up, we got Best Special Effects, and the winner of the Horror Show's Best Special Effects Award goes to Terrifier. In Terrifier, I thought this film was very gory from start to finish. I like how the way some of the effects are done, including one of the film's most infamous scenes, where it's just gross out and really projected a horrifying image, which still kind of sticks with me whenever I think about this film. Plus, there's various other scenes where it's bloody, it's gory, and it really demonstrated what an extreme horror film looks like. So, Terrifier will get the award for Best Special Effects, because really, the effects in this film are insane. Moving on, now we're up to Best Cinematography, and the award for Best Cinematography goes to the film Mandy. I thought the cinematography in this film was great from start to finish. It made the visuals look very good. It filmed very well. It really made the film a very demented acid trip from start to finish, and the look of the film is part of the reason why Mandy is such an acid trip of a film. Best Editing. The award for Best Editing goes to Mandy. I thought this film was edited very well. I thought the film moved along at a very good pace. It really made some of the film's trippy scenes even more trippier. Plus the fact that it kind of keeps the story moving. And that's what really is the charm of this film. The story just keeps moving and moving and moving while all these weird things are happening. And it's a credit to the editing, because if this film was edited badly, then we'd probably be looking at a 2.5-hour, 3-hour movie. But thankfully, it wasn't that, because the pace was quick and it really helped with the final product of the film. Now on to best score in a horror, science fiction, or genre film. And the award for best score goes to Halloween. There was pretty much no other score besides Mandy in the running for this category. But the score for Halloween was very good. It was nice to see a Halloween film finally have some sort of John Carpenter imprint to it, as he does the score for the film along with Cody Carpenter and Daniel A. Davies. The score was very reminiscent to the original Halloween film that was released back in 1978. I like how it really added to this film, as the soundtrack is very creepy. They do a great job making sure that it captures the same magic as the original Halloween film. And it was also very nice to see John Carpenter back in the Halloween franchise after a long absence, as this was definitely one of my favorite things about the Halloween remake. And it's definitely a score you should definitely check out. Best Makeup. And the Horror Show Award for Best Makeup goes to Terrifier. One of the things that I liked about the makeup in this film was that the clown looked so frightening. It's not like one of those ha 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 clowns that you will normally see in these slasher films. It has a very dark and grim look to it, which I really liked a lot. Plus, I also liked how some of the other makeup, whether it's the effects on the makeup or the makeup done for some of the actors, it really added to the film's very dark and twisted tone, which was also another reason why I enjoyed Terrifier so much. It's not every day you get a very demented look on a demented clown, but this film achieves that perfectly. And it really is one of the reasons why Art the Clown has kind of exploded into cult status. The next horror show award is Best Screenplay. This I could go in many different directions. The Halloween screenplay was good. Mandy's screenplay was good. Hereditary's screenplay was good. But I ultimately decided to choose A Quiet Place. One of the main reasons why I chose it is the way the screenplay was written. I liked how it was different from all the other films. It focuses on action rather than dialogue scenes. It's just like a few dialogue scenes in the film and that's it. So it pretty much, for most of it, it's like a silent film. But the silence of the film is what makes this film very creepy and keeps you glued to what's going on screen. I've seen this on television as opposed to the theater. I kind of wish I wanted to see this film in a theater, because it probably would have been better in the theater. But still, watching the film on television, I still was invested with the film's story and its characters. A Quiet Place is a very rare film that has Michael Bay attached to it that is very good. I can't remember another film that had Michael Bay attached either as an executive producer or director. I probably would have to go all the way back to maybe The Rock or Bad Boys. That's like in the 90s. Because most of his films pretty much sucked, even the ones he produces. But thankfully, A Quiet Place was a great film, and it will be appearing on my top 10 list. Now we get to the acting categories. First category is Best Supporting Actress, and the Horror Show Award goes to Judy Greer for Halloween. I thought her performance as Laurie Strode's daughter was very good. She does a very good job making sure her character is very skeptical of Jamie Lee Curtis's Laurie Strode's character. Also, I thought the scenes between her and Jamie Lee Curtis in the film were very good, as she's able to make sure that her character is the opposite of Jamie Lee Curtis, also not becoming very dislikable, as there's really a good scene with her and Jamie Lee Curtis in the film, which drives home the relationship between the two characters. And I also thought she had a really good line near the end of the film, but I'm not telling you it because it kind of goes into the ending of the film, so you'll see. I just don't want to spoil the ending, so. But it's kind of a good scene too, which I enjoyed a lot. That's why her performance is my favorite supporting actress performance of the year. Next up, the Horror Show Award for Best Supporting Actor is Gabriel Byrne for Hereditary. Now, Hereditary is a film that I just recently seen. Hereditary, and I thought the performances in that film was so good that before this film, I had another person lined up to win this award, but after seeing this film and Gabriel Byrne's performance in the film, I had no choice but to give him the award for Best Supporting Actor. But I could not help but liking Gabriel Byrne in that film, as he plays a husband who's kind of caught in the madness of everything that's going on between his wife, his son, and his daughter. And he kind of really felt like the only character that really doesn't go fully insane in the film. But Gabriel Byrne does a great job making sure that he plays that character very well, as he makes his character different from all the other characters in the film, because during the course of the film, each of the other characters are really going bonkers, literally. But the way that Burns approaches his character really makes the performance very good and very enjoyable, and that's why he is the Horror Show's Best Supporting Actor. Now we're moving on to the Horror Show's Best Actress Award. And the award goes to Toni Collette for Hereditary. Like Gabriel Byrne, this was another performance that I liked a lot in this film. Toni Collette's performance in Hereditary is very good. She does a great job really making sure her character is interesting and very out of control at times. It really provided some really gloomy moments in the film. Also provided some very frightening scares, especially towards the end of the film where it really gets out of control. But she's able to make sure her character has a depth to it, which made it very good and helped carry this film, because this is a film where it needed to be carried by a great performance. Because for maybe the first half hour, it kind of moves at a slow pace. But once it starts to pick up, it really becomes a very good horror film. And it's definitely a film you should definitely check out if you have not seen this film. This is definitely going to be very high on my list of the best horror films of 2018. But I never thought another performance would top Jamie Lee Curtis's performance in Halloween. But Toni Collette's performance in Hereditary really is the best actress performance of 2018. And probably the best performance from an actress in a horror film in the last 5 years. Moving on to Best Actor, and the Horror Show Award for Best Actor goes to David Howard Thornton for Terrifier. I thought his performance in this film was very good. In a year where Nicolas Cage could have won this award for Mandy, but I decided to go with David Howard Thornton for Terrifier for a couple of reasons. First, he has to deal with a character that has no dialogue. He does a great job making sure his movements convey the message that his character is downright creepy and scary. That is definitely a tough thing to do. David Howard Thornton pulls that off very well, to the point where everybody's talking about Ott the Clown after Terrifier. Plus, another thing he does very well is that you felt his presence in the film. It's hard to do that in a slasher film because usually the slasher's movements are very limited, very generic. But David Howard Thornton does a very good job making the character very mime-like. Every time he was on screen, you were terrified. And it was the way he makes sure his character moves and makes sure how his character conveys the message through the mimicking that this is one scary clown. It really made Terrifier a great horror film. I cannot say that enough. His performance in Terrifier is what made this generic slasher feel something special in 2018. Because you're not going to see that type of performance in a slasher film. I really don't think many people can pull off the performance that David Howard Thornton did in Terrifier in any other slasher film. That is why David Howard Thornton's performance in Terrifier was the best performance by a lead actor in 2018. We're nearing towards the end of the show. Now we're on to Best Director. And the Horror Show Award for Best Director goes to Panos Cosmatos for Mandy. One of the things that I loved about Cosmatos' direction here is that he does a great job making sure everything had a very weird and surreal tone to it. Whether it's the way he directs Nicolas Cage in the film, to the way that he directs the film's main villain, to making sure that the scenes stood out, it made for one very trippy film. Cosmatos also does a very good job making sure the action scenes in the film have an intense and surreal feel to them. It makes for some very crazy moments, and it really kept the film going as it, amidst all the surrealness that goes on in the film. It has some really good scenes, especially towards the end where Nicolas Cage is going crazy. It was one of those films where it may have not made a lot of sense, but it kept your interest and kept me glued to the screen with the imagery and chaotic action this film has. So this is why Panos Cosmatos earns my Best Director Award for 2018. Finally, we come to the final award on the first annual Anthony T's Horror Show Awards. And it's Best Independent Film. You may be asking yourself, why am I not giving my Best Picture here? Because I'm saving that for another show. But instead, I'll give you my Best Independent Horror Sci-Fi Film in the Anthony T. Horror Show Award for Best Independent Sci-Fi Film goes to Hell and Back, the Kane Hodder Story. Now, To Hell and Back, the Kane Hodder Story was a very emotional film to watch. It's a documentary on the life of Kane Hodder, who us horror fans know as Jason Voorhees and Victor Crowley. But this film shows a side of Kane Hodder that you have not seen before. I thought this film was great in focusing on his past, whether it was the lowlifes of his life, some of his high points. The film does a very good job making sure that everything's covered in a way that it's an actual documentary and not some fan-praising documentary on a celebrity where they just focus on the films. This is definitely a film you should definitely check out, whether you're a horror fan or not. I've said this before, I'll say this again. This is a definite must-watch. As to Hell and Back to Kane, Hodder's story is one of the best documentaries, period, in quite a long time. I highly recommend you see this film, whether you're a horror fan or not, as this is a great documentary. Well, this wraps up the first annual Anthony T. Horror Show Awards. I hope to be doing this again next year, and I hope you enjoyed this segment. Want to find out the latest guest announcements and news regarding Anthony T's Horror Show? You can follow Anthony T's Horror Show on these social media platforms. Facebook at www.facebook.com/AnthonyT's Horror Show. On Twitter at www.twitter.com/AnthonyT's Horror. And Instagram at www.instagram.com/AnthonyT's Horror Show. For my film recommendation this week, I wanted to recommend the title from Trauma, since I haven't had time to do so here on the film recommendation segment on my show. They're definitely one of the reasons why I support indie horror, and I'm going to recommend a title in which it really makes no sense with the film, nor its poster, which I will post on the social media channels to show you why it does not make sense with the film. The film I'm talking about is Dead Dudes in the House. Yes, this is an actual film titled Dead Dudes in the House. First of all, the poster looks so late 80s, early 90s. It looks like a New Kids on the Block ripoff. It's like, if this poster was the poster that Vinegar Syndrome used in marketing this film, I would have gone bananas and just pretty much moved on to the next film, because this poster does not scream "buy me." This poster pretty much screams "get away from it," because this is one of the worst posters that I have ever seen. The poster pretty much features five young adults who are not even in the film. It's like, what the fuck? If I were to rent this film, I would not see these five guys on the cover of this film in the film. Come on. Really? I know you're trying to attract an audience, but this is just one of the worst posters that I have ever seen. And it's a total misrepresentation of this film, what the people at Troma were thinking when they were marketing this film, because this, it's just horrible. It is quite possibly the worst poster that I have ever seen in my entire life. I will put this up on all of the show's social media pages, and I may even throw out a poll to see if this is the worst poster of all time. Because this is ridiculous and very misleading. I don't want to go and criticize Troma, but this is a very good film, which people should check out. Thankfully, this title is not being used in its marketing for the Blu-ray release, because I don't know if anybody would buy a film with that cover, as this is quite possibly the worst movie poster that I have ever seen in my life. Now, since I finished my gripes about the title and marketing of this film, I'm going to talk to you why Dead Dudes in the House is my film recommendation for episode 11. One of the reasons why I liked Dead Dudes in the House was the fact that this film had a suspenseful feel to it. It was a very gory, kind of slasher, zombie film, which is different compared to other slasher films. At least it's thinking outside of the box, plus the fact that it has good direction from James Rifle, who does a very good job making sure his performances are good enough to keep the film interesting and entertaining. We also had a good special effects team for the film, because some of the death scenes were executed very well to the point where it generated a horrific reaction, which is very much needed for a film like this to succeed. The screenplay also was very good, as it does a good job building its characters and also building tension to make some of the kill scenes work in the film. So definitely I recommend you check out Dead Dudes in the House, as it's currently released by Vinegar Syndrome under the title The House on Tombstone Hill. This film is also known as The Dead Come Home as well. But still, this is definitely a really good trauma film. And I have to say, probably one of trauma's best titles that doesn't feature Lloyd Kaufman in any capacity. Because this is a very good straight-up slasher film with zombie elements thrown in. I definitely recommend you pick up the Blu-ray from Vinegar Syndrome under the title The House on Tombstone Hill. It's a very different kind of film, but at least the film is being given a proper title instead of Dead Dudes in the House, because that title is just so weird considering the film is not what you would think with that title, as Dead Dudes in the House is really a bad title for a film. But thankfully Vinegar Syndrome is not using this title that really doesn't match what the film's about. Definitely check out Dead Dudes in the House, aka The Dead Come Home, aka The House on Tombstone Hill. The film is available on VinegarSyndrome.com and Amazon.com. So you want to know what's happening inside the horror chamber? If you liked my review of Dead Dudes in the House, I recently did another trauma review on my YouTube channel over at Anthony T's Horror Chamber. I recently got a chance to review Lloyd Kaufman's latest film, Return to Newcomb High, aka Volume 2. You can check that review out on Anthony T's Horror Chamber's YouTube page. And I may be doing something with trauma on my YouTube page in the future. I may have a segment there where I review trauma films, since those seem to get viewed the most on my channel. So stay tuned. As for upcoming videos I have planned, I plan on doing a video soon on 5 films that should be on Blu-ray. I don't know if it'll be out in time before the next episode, but that's definitely on my to-do list, alongside an edition of the Horror Chambers DVD and Blu-ray collection. I still have to do that Black Friday episode, as I'm still waiting for a couple of certain titles from 7 films to be released before I can do that episode, so stay tuned for that. On the website, I'm going to stop posting news again. I haven't had time lately, but I plan to stop posting news. Probably before next episode, you'll see some news on the website over at thehorrorchamber.blogspot.com. And that's pretty much it. I want to thank you again for listening to this episode. Have a good day and support indie horror.